This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
And Mark.
We got Mark out there somewhere in the world.
I'm in Florida.
Good to have you here. Let's see. There was some big news yesterday that I completely neglected to share on the international scene. And then coming up, since we're talking to international news a little bit, I know, Aria, you've got an update on the El Salvador prison roundups where they've rounded up tens of thousands of individuals on absolutely no charges whatsoever, just simply on suspect.
And have tortured some of them. And 153 people have died tortured.
Yeah, so we'll talk about that coming up here. But in other related international news, according to the-sun.com, you remember a few weeks ago there was news that there was like a drone that had flown into Moscow and had struck, like it had exploded right over the Kremlin? Do you remember hearing that story a little while back?
Yeah.
Well, apparently the drones came back in much larger numbers recently. This is in recent days, according to The Sun, blitzed by a swarm of drones in a rare attack on the Russian capital after Ukraine vowed to respond to a barrage of unprecedented missile attacks recently. So I guess, was this last night? Anyway, looks like a couple people were injured. There were at least several, looks like they've got a little map here, maybe as many as seven or eight explosions. They shot down a number of drones as well, so it could have been like a dozen plus drones that were flown into Moscow. So, I mean, this is definitely, you know, some escalation going on over there. This war is... It's pretty ugly.
Well, that's what they wanted.
Yeah.
Zelensky and Putin, instead of just getting into a ring and, like, beating the crap out of each other, they want to sacrifice the entire world.
Of course, yeah. The government top goons are never going to do the actual fighting.
Which would be a less violent way for this to be resolved. They have an issue. Let them get together and fight it out, right? There's no need to kill a bunch of innocent bystanders.
Yep. In this case, thankfully, apparently no one did die, but it obviously is going to keep this conflict going on. In other international news, and this is the big one I neglected to share yesterday, The Telegraph is reporting over in the UK that the Prime Minister, Rishi Sunak, this is the banker guy or whatever that's like in a top position over there. Yeah, Prime Minister in the UK. He is asking for price caps on food.
Well, that won't work.
Never does.
This is why people are going to starve.
But the difference between this and your typical price caps is he is apparently just, quote-unquote, asking. Because normally when you see the mainstream media reporting that government asked so-and-so to do a thing, or government asked this business to, you know, jump through all these hoops, they never ask you. Usually when the government does a thing, the government gang is threatening you, and if you don't do the thing that they are, quote-unquote, asking, they will then put a gun to your head and force you to do the thing, or close your business, or put you in a prison cell, right?
So, economic law on this particular scenario is so clear. If you implement price caps, you will have definitively 100% for certain shortages of whatever you put that cap on.
This is basic economics.
Yeah, if you put this price cap on food, people will starve.
Right, so England may control all of English food, but probably England doesn't produce enough food to feed England. So, if you put, which means that food comes in from the outside, and if somebody puts price caps on food, then if you are a farmer who sells watermelons and you can sell them at a place where they're $3 a piece, or you can sell them at a place where they're price capped at $2 a piece. Ladies and gentlemen, I ask you, before you answer, is it evil to sell a watermelon at $3? What would you do? And that's the end of the whole thing. They're going to go to the Netherlands where they'll pay $3.
Yeah, and then they'll get smuggled into the UK from the Netherlands.
And they'll pay five.
Four or five, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Hopefully.
Six.
Hopefully they'll be smuggled in and people can buy them on the black market.
Yeah.
The alternative is, again, starvation.
So this is probably best described as a soft price cap. At least the way it's being explained here. So let me get into it here from the Telegraph. They say that they're drawing up plans for retailers to introduce price caps on basic food items such as bread and milk to help tackle the rising cost of living. Rishi Sunak's aides have started to work on a deal with supermarkets akin to an agreement in France in which the country's major retailers charge the, quote, lowest possible amount, unquote, for some essential food products. The move would amount to the biggest attempt to manage supermarket prices since controls established by Edward Heath in 1973. However, they insist that any action by retailers would be voluntary at this point.
Yeah, I mean, everything the government does starts out voluntary.
Like e-verify?
Yeah, mm-hmm. And like the seatbelt laws, you know, initially it was just a secondary offense. You couldn't get pulled over for it.
That's true.
That went away quickly.
Well, not everything
right. And
is voluntary,
now the retailers are in a catch-22, because if they keep prices low in order to be kind to people during the economic difficulties, in hopes that their customers will remain loyal when things get better, then they have acquiesced to the government, and the government then takes credit. Look at us! We asked the retailers, and they trembled before our power. We control the big corporations and blah, blah, blah. However, if they don't, if they just go ahead and say, look, we've got to charge what we've got to charge here, then the government goes in and says, these evil corporations are doing evil corporation things. If you just grant us more power, we promise not to invade some hapless country like we did before. This time we'll go after the corporations.
Well, and of course, they've been using corporations as a scapegoat for quote-unquote inflation, on blaming the greedy corporations. How dare they just raise their prices? And they're colluding to raise their prices.
Even though we told them 3 years ago at the outset of COVID-19, when they printed the very first stimulus checks, that they were going to have to increase prices as a direct result of this.
Yep, and food's been taking it on the chin.
You
too,
mean we,
right?
Free Talk Live, told them?
Yes.
We did, yes.
Yeah, we did. But, you know, Free Talk Live has been around for 20 years, and nobody's ever listened to us about anything. So, you know.
No one in politics, but there are the people that are listening, I'm sure. Some people did the right thing.
Well, hopefully they listened about, I mean, they should be listening, because at that same time, we pointed out, hey, look, instead of taking this $1,200 stimulus check and buying a television or something, use it to buy Bitcoin. Now, there's a Twitter handle now called Bitcoin Stimulus or something like that that tracks it. And the last we checked, you would have turned that $1,200 into $4,000 or something like that. A huge return on your investment.
Now, of course, you have to wonder, what is the deal that they are cutting with these retailers, right? I mean, there's got to be something offered in return. So I'm guessing that it's like, okay, well, we'll subsidize your energy bill, or we're going to give you a subsidy over here, or cut your tax bill over here, something like that. They've got to give some sort of option if they want people to take this voluntarily, you would think, beyond just,
yeah, because otherwise
think
they're going to have to fire staff or something, because they... Like, they're not making huge profits here. They're not making 50% profits or anything like that.
No, retail is known, or not retail, but grocery, for instance, is known for making very low profits overall. It's like something like 2 to 3% is what they make. Now, I mean, certain items, you know, you go in and you get a fancy mustard or something like that, they're going to make more than 2 to 3%, but it all averages out.
It's not that easy. You know, it's not just the fancy mustard. Like, that way you can just tell whether you're getting something fancy and paying a lot or not. I mean, often it's that way. But honestly, there can be disparities between grocery stores on some very basic stuff. Sometimes they have loss leaders on all kinds of different things. So, you know, I'm not going to tell anybody to go shopping at four different grocery stores because I don't do it either. But at the same time, that's just sort of the reality of it is that, you know, some of them are lower on the fancy mustard. Some of them are lower on ribeye steaks.
Yeah, but overall in the industry, it averages out to something like 2-3% is what they make.
No lie.
Overall. And, you know, I suspect that means, now I've never worked in the grocery business, so I can't speak from experience on this. If you are out there and you do, you know, actually work in management or something like that, I'm guessing that these basic items that they're talking about here are probably not the big profit makers to begin with, right? Like, how much are they marking up a 12-pack of eggs? How much are they marking up a loaf of bread to begin with? These are the basic items. These are the items they have to compete on the hardest. These are the ones that people are going to buy more often than anything else when they come into the store, right? Like, you only need your fancy hot sauce or mustard every once in a while, but you got to get the eggs pretty often by comparison, or the produce. So that would be something I'd be interested in seeing is, you know, what are the areas where these stores tend to not mark things up very much, because that's what they're putting in the circulars, right? Like, you got to come get your loaf of bread for $7 or whatever the hell they are now. They're really expensive for this stuff now. Yeah, I haven't.
It depends on the bread you eat. But at the same time, whenever I see ribeye steaks on sale, right? Like, I just don't like a New York strip. But whenever I see a ribeye steak on sale, I'll just buy as many as I can happen to have cash in my pocket for, and put them in the freezer because I know I'm going to eat this, and it doesn't matter to me whether it's been frozen for 3 weeks or whatever.
Jay in our chat room, he says grocery stores make such low profit margins because they have an enormous amount of waste product. He says, I've seen the amount of food Publix throws away in a day. Perfectly fine food. Their standard is just so high, about $2,000 worth retail.
And that makes sense as well. I mean, food expires. And, you know, if it expires, you can't sell it.
Well, even if I know that the bread people take their expired bread with them. So Publix isn't throwing that away.
Oh, okay.
I don't know what's happening to the vegetables or something like that, but I did used to be on the receiving end of a guy who did a grocery raid. He delivered all kinds of things for UNFI, and they you know, they pick up old vegetables, so, you know, I don't entirely know how all this works. I also, you know, received food from a food bank. So basically the things that poor people didn't want that were given for free, I would take that and feed it to pigs. And it was always the artesian breads and the vegetables, never the candy bars.
So if you want to comment, join us here. The number is 603-283-6160. We'll tell you more about this, what, again, I would call a soft price cap in the UK. But first, Chuck is on the line in Washington State. Go ahead, Chuck.
Yeah, you were talking about the further situation degrading in Eastern Europe. Have you guys been following what's going on in Kosovo as of the late?
No, what's going on there?
No.
So it looks like that there's a movement right now in the northern part of the country. It's divided, as mm-hmm. you know. It's and up in the northern part, there's been two lawmakers that were elected that are Albanian Muslims, and there's a strong reaction in the form of protests happening. There's been clashes with Serbian citizens and NATO troops representing several different NATO countries, to include the United States. There's a video footage of the clashes happening, and basically you see what presumably U.S. Army military police getting drug off the front line, replaced by fresh meat there. It looks like something you'd see in, like, Minneapolis, Seattle, Portland, or wherever, except these guys are using bricks and iron rods, and what I'm calling is that it looks like it's contributing to the overall downward slope. It looks like what's happening in Eastern Europe.
Hmm.
So,
yeah, according to the headlines here, Newser.com says NATO will send 700 more troops to northern Kosovo to help quell violent protests after clashes with ethnic Serbs left 30 international soldiers wounded. The latest violence has stirred fear for a renewal of the 1998-99 conflict in Kosovo that claimed more than 10,000 lives. So, yeah, this possibly could.
Yeah, so back in 2008, as you remember, in 2008, Kosovo established its independence, and there's been periods of tensions that have arose, you know, from now until then, or from then until now, but this is a different thing because of the Russian Federation's obvious influence and desire to destabilize anything that has to do with NATO in that region of the world. So, thank you very much for letting me.
This seems like a slanted take.
It really is, because I was there and I know what's going on. Thank you.
Thank you for the call tonight, Chuck. Appreciate the heads up on that.
I mean, yeah, but there are plenty of people in Ukraine who insist that, you know, the Russians are, you know, going around raping and killing infants and stuff as well. I mean, just.
Who knows what the truth is?
Right. I mean, that's one side of a story, and I don't think it's going to be fair to blame Russia and their attempt to destabilize everything related to NATO for what's happening in Kosovo. I don't know what's happening in Kosovo, but I will say that as someone who, you know, spews propaganda regularly, like here on the air, it sounds to me like propaganda.
Well, there's always propaganda when it comes to war, right?
Right.
I mean, this is one of the things that we made really clear when Russia first invaded the Ukraine, was that there's at least two sides, if not more, to every conflict, but yet the Western media will only let you hear one side. Now, I'm not saying that the Russian side's always telling the truth either, but, you know.
But I want to be able to hear their side.
Yeah, the first casualty in war is the truth, right? Like,
Hemingway?
I don't know who said that, but here's a little bit more information about this particular story.
Well, I'd like to pop in real quick and say that the Serbs have always, you know, they're friendly with the Russians. And in this case, we're talking about ethnic Serbs in Kosovo, as opposed to Serbian nationality. So it's a very believable take, if not a slanted one.
So here's an update on what they say, at least according to the newser.com, is going on there. They refer to the old conflict in the 90s, which left more than 1 million people homeless and resulted in a NATO so-called peacekeeping mission that has lasted nearly a quarter of a century, according to the AP.
Look, you don't need to keep peace. You don't need any sort of military force. You don't need any effort.
Well, they do if they want to keep flowing money into the military-industrial complex.
Yes, you do need military for that. But to keep peace, all you have to do is let people live. Like, that's it.
The clashes grew out of a confrontation, they say, that unfolded last week after ethnic Albanian officials, elected in votes overwhelmingly boycotted by Serbs, entered municipal buildings to take office. When the Serbs tried to block them, Kosovo police fired tear gas to disperse the crowd. More violence followed Monday when Serbs attempted to enter the municipal offices in Zvečan, which is 28 miles north of the capital, and clashed with police and NATO peacekeepers. The NATO Secretary General said additional reserve battalion will be put on high readiness in case additional troops are needed. And
it sounds like a mess where NATO involvement or U.S. involvement could not possibly make the situation better.
Better. Yeah.
It's like the Serbs and the Albanians here, they're going to fight each other, and they're not agreeing, and they're trying to run a country together. Maybe they should divorce.
The NATO-led peacekeeping mission, so-called, in the region is known as KFOR, and currently consists of almost 3,800 troops. A statement issued on Tuesday said that 30 soldiers, including Italians and Hungarians, were the ones hurt in the fighting on Monday. Fractures, burns from improvised explosive incendiary devices, and so on. So this is a developing story. And, of course, if you want to keep us up to date, feel free to continue to do that.
It sounds like it's just a remnant of the Cold War, or a continuation of the Cold War. You've got the Russian Serbs and the NATO Albanians, and they're fighting, and they're sending soldiers there, and they're just fighting out the Cold War still.
Yeah, I got to say, I'm not particularly familiar with the geography of this particular country. The most we've talked
I'd say
about.
This was... This was a extension of the Ottoman takeover of Europe. The Ottoman Empire, decided to make people Muslim there in Europe, and what is now called Europe. I don't think at the time they spent much time thinking about what is Europe, especially not the Turks. And that's having backlash now. It's long-standing disputes now. It couldn't get much smaller. Kosovo is a cutout of Serbia already. And, I don't know how you get to cut these things down to, little county size things and just let them rule themselves. But, it's going to affect their EU status and a variety of things.
So Kosovo is separate from Serbia, or is it still?
Yes.
Okay.
It's got a dotted line on Google, which is not a it's not a good sign.
Sovereignty. Does that mean it's disputed or something? What does that mean?
I'm sure that there are Serbians, Serbs that dispute it, yes. Mm-hmm. That's what it looks like.
Is that something that happened in the 90s? Was they kind of carved that out as its own separate thing?
It seems like they just keep on getting carved out. Hmm. Serbia wasn't a country in the 90s, as I recall. This is all Yugoslavia and the breakup there.
Ah, okay. Yeah, so I'm looking here at the map. Looks like this is so southwest of Ukraine is where this is taking place. Serbia next door to this Albania. So it's Albania that borders Kosovo on the southwestern side and Serbia that borders it on the northern side. And so apparently Albanians are getting into office in Kosovo, and that is what has – was it Kosovo? Yeah, that's what
right.
I mean, it sounds like a mess, and it sounds to me like just Cold War fighting. And I don't know how else to feel about it. It's Russia against NATO again, or still.
Well, I don't know what anybody's going to feel about it politics is the desire to shove your opinion down your neighbor's throat, right? So I don't, just because the Albanians are Muslim or Christian or whatever they might be, doesn't make me like them more or less. Were they elected fairly? Well, when you decide to protest a vote by not voting, expect the result, right? I mean, mm-hmm. You choose not to vote, then, hey. Now, personally, I don't vote. Because when I vote and when I don't vote, I get the same result. But in this circumstance, I just frankly don't care that much. If they want to tear their government apart, which is precisely what they're going to do.
Good.
By trying to prevent people who are, duly elected,
well
then have at it.
We have no idea how, how scammy or whatever these elections were. But either way,
and I mean, even if
I'm certainly
election.
Not here to say that the election in the United States, Kosovo, was completely fair.
Well, even if it was, fair, the idea of the election itself is still fraudulent. Like, plenty of the people would have not voted for anyone because they would have voted.
That is an idea so fringe that people, that these people will not listen, stop and listen while they're busy killing each other.
Well, I often forget how fringe I am, Mark.
And the NATO is apparently involved. However, I did just check. Neither of these are European Union countries. So even though there's a lot of EU in this part of the world, these particular areas are not.
Really?
Yeah, according to the list,
they're
looked,
NATO? They're NATO.
Yeah, more coming up here. Free Talk Live.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
You USA News update. Members of the House Freedom Caucus are doing all they can to make sure the debt ceiling deal fails. Caucus Chair Scott Perry is leading the charge.
What this bill does is underwrite for the rest of the 2 years the woke weaponized Biden administration and all their policies, and Republicans should not be responsible for that.
Conservatives argue the deal fails to make any of the spending cuts included in the Republican-led Limit, Save, Grow Act that passed the House in April. Florida Governor and now presidential candidate Ron DeSantis is beginning his official campaign tour today with stops in Iowa. DeSantis is in Des Moines. He'll also make stops in New Hampshire and South Carolina. Air travel over the Memorial Day weekend was over pre-pandemic levels. That's according to the TSA. Agents say they screened close to 9.8 million people at airports across the U.S. John Schaefer, USA News.
What if people always acted the same way they do when they're driving their cars?
Good morning, Mrs. Blanchard. How may I help you?
I'd like to cash this check.
Sure.
I'll just get my pen
Come
here.
Come on, lady. Get a move
Goodness.
On. Where'd you learn to bank anyway?
Ooh.
Whoa. Don't you give me that look.
It sure wouldn't be a very friendly place.
What kind of candy do you want, sweetie?
This. No, this.
Pick something already. Come on, honey. We're holding people up. How about this kind?
No.
What is the matter with you people? If you're not going to do something, I am. Get out of my way.
Every day, drivers and their families all across the country are killed on the roadways because of road rage.
Boys, I did a beautiful wedding.
Oh, yes, and they make such a lovely couple.
Excuse me, is this the receiving line?
Yes, it is.
Hey, he cut in line.
I'm a friend of the bride. Do you know the
Hey,
group?
Pal, you cut in line.
Buzz off.
Oh, yeah?
He hit that nice man.
That'll teach you to cut in line, you jerk.
Stop this senselessness of road rage. It's time we all drive with the same courtesy we extend to people in the rest of our lives. A message from the AAA Foundation for Traffic Safety.
Have you ever watched a video on the internet and found yourself waiting for the skip the ad button? The reason this takes a few seconds is because the video delivery companies get to collect impression commission, and the viewer never sees the advertisement. The company still pays full price to run the ad. Does this sound like a scam to you? Is there any wonder why internet ads are so ineffective? For over 100 years, radio has been a proven source for companies' messages. Radio listeners are engaged and want to support the companies that sponsor the shows they're so passionate about. Simple companies like window treatments, security, pillow companies, and more have been able to break away from the big box stores, building multi-million dollar businesses. Find out what radio can do for your business. Call 877-996-4327 or advertise at gcnlive.com. That's advertise at gcnlive.com.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
It is Free Talk Live. Phones are open. Join us here at the number 603-283-6160. Ian, Aria, and Mark joining you here tonight at 603-283-6160. You can join us online anytime you want. Head over to freetalklive.com and enjoy the features that we have waiting for you there. We're going to go back to your phone calls and thoughts. We did just have a gentleman call in to give us a heads up that there's apparently conflict erupting in Kosovo, which hasn't at least caught any of our attention in recent years, but it's sparking off some violent conflict again. Now, NATO is apparently involved with their so-called peacekeeping troops over there.
Well, NATO's been there since the Clinton campaign
apparently
in 98,
so.
Apparently, because
yeah.
They said 25
a
years,
quarter of
and
a
yeah,
century.
That would have been 98, so...
Yeah.
So clearly, the peacekeeping efforts there have not worked.
Yeah,
and
right.
I mean, this is one of those things. You just got to rip that Band-Aid off, man. And I hate to say it, right? But you just got to let the Palestinians and Israel fight this out. You just got to let the Kosovo and the Serbians and the, what were the other ones?
The Albanians.
The Albanians fight it out. And hopefully, they'll come to a peaceful resolution. But intervening in that and be like, no, guys, you have to get along is clearly... not working. To be reasonable and try to, you know, get them to see reason. But if these two people don't get along, stop trying to mix them together. Stop trying to make them get along. It doesn't work. Nowhere in human history can we point to these examples of Israel in the Middle East or the Palestinians, or here we have Serbia and Albania. And never have we been able to point to any example of these people being forced together, saying, look, they ultimately got along just fine. It doesn't work.
Do you remember that tennis guy, Djokovic, who made headlines during...
The one who didn't want to get vaccinated?
Right. Yeah. He's back in the news for speaking out in regards to what's happening, because apparently Serbia is where he's from.
Okay.
So he's back in the news, and let me just comment here. He's got a story here over at, it looks like AOL. Who knew they still existed? It's from The Hill. They're just, syndicating the story. Anyway, apparently he's spoken out during the French Open after the violent clashes in Kosovo.
Oh, France is going to hate that.
So he called for an end to the violence in a message on camera, wrote a message on a camera lens, apparently. His claims that, quote, Kosovo is the heart of Serbia was seen by some as stoking the historic tensions. Kosovo declared its independence from Serbia in 2008 and has been recognized as a separate state by the United States and much of the West. However, Serbia has refused to recognize Kosovo's statehood. So yet another example here of a recent declaration of independence that the United States has said, looks good.
Yep. I mean... I don't know to what extent the Declaration of Independence was or wasn't legitimate. I don't know what constitutes a legitimate Declaration of Independence versus what doesn't, but...
If you say so, it's legitimate.
Yeah, that's where
it?
I stand.
I've heard lots of American lawyers say that it's completely legitimate.
Well, I think if any Declaration of Independence is by definition legitimate, but I realize that's a fringe take. I think fringe was the word Mark used for me, and I recognize that, but... It's still, there's a long history here of things going on in Serbia and Kosovo and Albania and Yugoslavia and that region in general. There's such a long history of interference, intervening, bloodshed, and carnage that you're not going to fix the problem. You just got to let it play out.
So Serbia has refused to recognize Kosovo's statehood, creating simmering instability decades after the bloody conflict of the 1990s.
Now, is Kosovo like, are they at the edge of Serbia?
Yes. Or,
okay, so they're not
southwestern,
like completely
portion.
Surrounded by Serbia?
Correct.
Okay, well, there's that
right.
At least.
It's not an exclave or an enclave, whatever you want to talk about there.
Correct.
Right, so it's not like Colorado declaring independence from the United States.
Nope.
Which is at least a little bit more unwieldy than New Hampshire.
So, at his first round victory in the French Open, Djokovic wrote a message in Serbian on the camera lens, which read, quote, Kosovo is the heart of Serbia, stop the violence, and he used a heart symbol for the word heart.
Oh, no, see, you just made all of the Europeans mad. You can't refer to Kosovo as part of Serbia, clearly.
Yeah. So,
I mean, I don't agree with you or disagree with you because it's not my call, but I know what the Europeans are thinking right here, and they're like, Serbia, that's Russia. We hate them. So there's no chance that message fell on warm ears.
Djokovic's message was shown on the big screen at some place in wherever there it was. Speaking to the media following his match, Djokovic, whose father was born in Kosovo, said he felt it was his responsibility as a public figure to cast his support for the people of Kosovo at this time.
Wait, that's the opposite of what I got from his message.
He says, especially as the son of a man born in Kosovo, I feel I need to give my support to our people and the entirety of Serbia. So he may believe that Kosovo still should be part of Serbia. He says, I don't know, and I think many others don't know what the future brings for Kosovo and for the Serbian people, but it's necessary to show support and demonstrate unity in these kinds of situations. I don't know what will happen, he said. And he did call for an end to the violence. So, I mean, at the very least, he's right about that. Whether or not he believes in the independence of Kosovo is not clear.
That's fair. And I guess he doesn't have to take a side.
One could interpret his statement as being against the independence of it. The Tennis Federation of Kosovo accused him of aggravating the ongoing situation, with the Federation president saying...
Your opinion isn't exactly what my opinion is! You're evil!
They said that he was, quote, already the author of similar actions in the past, and...
Oh, how dare he call for peace
the same
and
man,
unity!
said, despite a general message against violence, the statement, quote, Kosovo is the heart of Serbia, unquote, and further statements after the match made by such a public figure on the occasion of a worldwide event like the French Open, directly resulting in raising the level of tension between the two states, Serbia and Kosovo, he said in his statement.
I don't believe that the people in Kosovo and Serbia were, like, driven to an angry rage over what this guy said.
By this guy saying, stop the violence.
And I would like to correct something I just said, you know, how dare he call for unity or whatever. You know, when we're talking about an issue of independence and not being united, someone calling for unity is taking the opposite side. So I can't just like, oh, how dare he call for unity because he's calling for a refusal to recognize independence in that particular case, if that's how he meant it. There may be all sorts of language barriers here.
Well, and also, if, again, we're still just taking what we've heard as what's really happening. We don't know. But if it's true that there was an election in Kosovo or in one of the towns or whatever, and Albanians allegedly won the election and the Serbians are now starting a fight over that, then by him calling for an end to violence, he is calling for his own countrymen essentially to stand down in that particular case. If it is indeed the Serbs who have started the fight.
Yeah. It's all very, it reminds me of Catalonia and I think Spain, though, mm-hmm. where Catalonia had an election to see if they would declare independence.
They tried to.
And the official people in Spain were like, no, we're boycotting this election. So obviously the results were widespread pro-independence. And we had the exact. And in that case, we saw people, oh, no, we refuse to recognize Catalonian independence or whatever. And it was horrific. And the United States said the same thing, even mm-hmm. though it's the exact same situation, but from the opposite side.
Same thing in Ukraine,
yep.
where Russia, they had some elections in the Donbass region, and the elections went heavily pro-Russia as far as we want to secede and join Russia, is what they essentially said. And the Western world said, oh, no, those aren't legitimate elections.
Right, those aren't legitimate results because I disagree with them.
Right.
And you protested those.
What's that?
They're wagging their fingers saying, no, you protested those elections, and therefore they're not legitimate.
Right. And it just comes down to people, people are saying, well, you know, Russia's bad, so anything that goes Russia's way, we call bad. And it's the same old simpleton way of looking at the world. Look, there are people in this world, I don't know, maybe we can call them Russians, who, if they live in an area, concentrated enough in an area, they're going to want to, you know, be separate from whatever their other government is. And so what?
We got Major Payne on the line here. He's in Michigan. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead, Major.
Yeah, there's a couple things you guys ain't taking into perspective here with this whole thing.
Okay.
Remember, just after World War II, the victors all divvied up the spoils, and they drew new fictitious lines everywhere and made countries where there wasn't none. Mm-hmm. Well, there might have been 2, 3, 5, 7 ancient clans, tribes, whatever you want to call them, living in that geographical trap. And they've been battling for, you know, their ancient grievances for thousands and thousands of years.
Right.
And you think drawing a line in the sand that just blows away is going to change something?
Of course not.
No, we pointed out that, you know, there's a long history of bloodshed and violence here, and people not agreeing with one another, and that the attempts to intervene in the situation are not doing anything to make anything better.
Well, yeah, the difficulty here that's in place is that NATO allowed Serbia and allowed Albania to enter because it wants... it wants to stick it in Russia's eye so bad that now when NATO states are fighting NATO states, they don't have a system for dealing with this.
Well, NATO states aren't supposed to fight one another, right?
Well, go make them stop.
I have no interest in making them do anything.
Yeah, I think NATO should be abolished.
I think the problem there is NATO.
Probably never should have been instituted. But that's a whole other conversation for a whole other day.
All right, what else, Mark?
Mark brought up free-range pigs or free-raising pigs.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember, this must have been almost 50 years ago. I was still a teenager, like probably 76, 78, somewhere in there. A bunch of my buddies, and there was 4 or 5 of them, they'd all gotten good factory rat jobs at GM and, you know, Ford and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
So they rented this big old farmhouse just on the outskirts of town. Well, it turns out that both the roads cornering it were the township line. So we were pretty much exempt from the noise ordinances and whatnot and could raise as much hell as we want to.
Yeah.
Well, we threw a bunch of parties, and we got the place in the fall. And then come next spring, I don't remember who came up with the idea. I think it was Mike Conklin. He says, let's go get some feeder pigs, because we had a great big 3 or 4 stall, great big long garage, right? And so we turned one of the bays into a pig pen. And went around and got all the produce that the grocery stores would throw away. Like, mm-hmm. We'd do this once or twice a week.
Right.
And just load the pickup truck. And, you know, after a minute, got a little smarter and went in and talked to the produce manager and says, well, what day do you throw all this stuff away?
Mm-hmm.
What time? Well, we just pull up there with the pickup truck, and instead of throwing it in a dumpster, we'd
load it up.
It right in the pickup
nice.
Truck.
Yeah.
So, you know. So that was cool, and we had some hell of a pig roast that fall.
I bet.
These days, somebody's figured that out. You're going to be fighting at each grocery store.
Fighting with other people that want to get the food, you mean?
Yeah, I mean, basically, a grocery store is the first place that people are going to think of to go to get produce and, you know, these sorts of things to feed pigs. And You kind of have to get yourself an in.
So there's already probably people that have agreements with a lot of the stores to just come and collect, essentially?
Yes, yeah. In all likelihood. Now, I'm not, you know, your mileage may vary.
Yeah, you can try and see how it goes.
I encourage everyone to do just such a thing, but, yeah.
No, I know guys that got deals with, you know, restaurants and whatnot to take their fat out of their dumpsters, and they'll use it for bear bait or whatever. But, you know, there's all kinds of... One man's trash is another man's bacon, so to speak.
This is true. Thank you, Major, for the call tonight. I appreciate it.
One more thought on pigs. If you don't already own a pickup truck, and you know, then buying a pickup truck in order to transport the food that you're going to feed your pigs dramatically increases the price per pound of your pigs for a long time. You know, basically, that pickup truck is a lot of money.
Sure.
And, you know, unless you just happen to have a pickup truck or do pickup truck things, first off, if you've got a pickup truck, look at your life. Do you really need it?
Good. Thank God you said that, Mark, because as soon as you mentioned the pickup truck, that is exactly what I thought, because they are so common. And, like, here and here, I've seen maybe 1% of them seem like they're justified. I have a friend who drives this great, big, enormous truck, never hauls
anything.
Like, he could get fined with a motorcycle, and instead he's driving around this big, giant Jeez. Truck. And he's not uncommon. And it's like, why are you people, why are you happy with your 3 miles per gallon?
Some
or
people just
you're
want to be that guy that everybody comes to ask him if they can help him move. Because that always happens.
That is 100% this guy, too.
Whenever you have a pickup truck, somebody's going to ask you eventually to help them move.
And he wants to be that guy. Yeah. Okay.
Maybe he does. I don't know.
No, I know he does in particular. The person I'm thinking of does.
Let's go to Frank. In Michigan, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead, Frank.
Hey, I kind of want to switch it up a little bit, if that's okay.
Please.
I want to talk about my journey to being more libertarian-minded than I used to be. I used to be basic Republican, conservative type of person. But in my opinion, well, what happened to me was a Supreme Court decision that came through, which I'm sure you guys are familiar with, Kelo versus New London.
Oh, yeah. That was the...
A long time, yeah.
2006, I think, somewhere around that time frame when the Kelo case was in New London, Connecticut. It was a big project that the city and their buddies took on to destroy a neighborhood that had been in existence for generations. Homes had been owned by the people in this neighborhood for generations, passed down from, you know, grandmothers and great-grandmothers and things like that.
It wasn't a nice neighborhood, but it was a neighborhood.
Yeah, and people had lived there for a very long time, and the city government decided, you know what, we could make more money in tax revenue if this were a big corporate complex. And so they teamed up with their city-funded or city-organized development corporation. These are just the city under a different name, essentially. And this development corporation contacted corporations like Pfizer and got them to say, yeah, if you build this corporate complex, we'll rent it. And so they got their, you know, they got the companies on board, on deck to jump into this. And they just started going around and making people offers on their homes. You know, the offer you can't refuse.
Offers they couldn't refuse.
Yeah, exactly. And
what does this mean exactly?
The offer you can't refuse?
Yeah.
It's a reference to Mafia, where they come in.
It was eminent domain. They said, this is what we're paying for your property.
I got
you. Get out. You have 60 days. Get out.
And there were a couple of holdouts. One woman was named Suzette Kilo, and she said, no, I don't want to leave. This is my grandma's home or whatever, and we've been here a long time, and we really like this place, and no, we don't want to take your money. And you probably know Lauren Canario.
Yep.
She made headlines because before she moved to New Hampshire, she went to New London, Connecticut, and she sat on the porch of Suzette Kilo's home when the bulldozers were coming in to take the place down, and was arrested for that. Subsequently was arrested again in a stairwell at a city council meeting for doing civil disobedience in that particular instance, if I recall correctly. She was... civilly disobedient to the point where she did not actually cooperate with her arrest. So she
remember that
them,
she played, she dropped what, dead
she
weight
went limp. Yeah. Yeah, she made them lift her up, and like even to the point where when they would come to get her to go to court, she would not leave the jail cell voluntarily either. They had to go in, bring a wheelchair to the jail cell, lift her into the wheelchair, lift her into the van, lift her out of the van, into another wheelchair, and get her into the courtroom. It was really something else.
Man, that's hardcore.
Epic level, hardcore civil disobedience. And, of course, as you might imagine, they did take Suzette Kilo's house by force. Ultimately, they, I don't know if they ended up forcing the money on her or whatever happened in that case, but it went to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court ruled in favor of the town, and the justification was that, oh, well, this wasn't for a private benefit, because you're not supposed to be able to do eminent domain.
Right.
There's a restriction on eminent domain saying it has to be for the public benefit, not the
public
private.
Use.
Public
versus
use.
It was public, like the argument was, is that the founders who wrote public use meant public good.
And they said that the public
good. And the Supreme Court of the United States said, yeah, that sounds right.
And, well, the argument was, well, it's the public good if the government is getting more tax dollars. So, therefore,
yeah,
it's okay.
But it wasn't about the public good. It was about the public, you know, like it's supposed to be about public use.
Well, whatever. that's what they interpreted
whatever,
it to
these
mean.
People have to leave.
And you always have to remember, this was one of the first things that clued me into the word public was actually a euphemism for government. Because a lot of people believe that public means, oh, it's all of us. No.
Well, this is one of the things that broke me.
Yeah.
I was basically a small government Republican up until that point. And then I watched as... You know, the Supreme Court justices, I'm sure the founders meant public good, not public use, and just sort of rewrote the Constitution, and I couldn't believe it, and that was it.
So, Frank, that was our recap there for listeners that weren't familiar with the case. What,
I appreciate it, because I was not at all familiar with it.
Go on with your story.
Yeah, I think you nailed it, and I'm right there with Mark. That was the tipping point for me as well. I mean, basically, I learned the hard way. Well, not personally, but... Through Kilo, I learned that there really is no such thing as private property. The government owns all property, and they can take it for any reason at any time. And it was a disgusting decision. I mean, and I can put my sort of wrap my head around eminent domain. I mean, you need to build this road or something. Okay, well, maybe you can justify that. But to take property for somebody with force for a private, basically, with private businesses. That they said, well, these private businesses are going to do a better job with this property than these homeowners. So, sorry, we're kicking you out. And
Colin, what did you say your name was?
This is Frank.
You sound just like Jay Moon.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Anyway, so yeah, that was it. But basically, I don't call myself a libertarian. I'm basically a minarchist because I'm also a pragmatist. I think you gotta, you know, baby steps and reduce government, and then hopefully someday you can get to the point where you can make the jump. But at this point, I just try to reduce harm in my life, and either through voting or just how I live my life.
Thank you for sharing that story. And I don't know if you heard the update on what happened to that property. They developed the thing.
They got abandoned, right?
Pfizer moved in, and then they moved out a few years later. So the whole thing.
Right. They tore these people's houses down for nothing. And I don't know for sure, but that development sat empty after Pfizer left for a long time.
Yeah,
I don't know if it still is.
That's what I was curious about. I was trying to find, like, okay, what's the status? Because Pfizer, the headlines about Pfizer leaving was in 2009. So it's been more than a decade since Pfizer took off from this deal that they had, that the city was like, you know, oh, we're going to make so much tax revenue, and their big anchor
big loss
is gone. So... really, just a slap. I mean, just the ultimate slap in the face, insult to injury. You know, I hope these people left New London and didn't just, like, move across town. You know, just this abusive scum that run the city. Frank, was there anything else you wanted to share? Okay, we're losing your signal anyway. Thanks for the call, man. I appreciate it. The number here is 603-283-6160. If you guys know the latest on what's happened to that particular piece of property, is it still like a, you know, just sitting empty? Is there anything in that's renting this particular complex, this corporate structure that they created there in New London? I would love to know.
And to be fair, I knew the story about Lauren Canario. I didn't know what the Supreme Court thing was, and I didn't know what the name of the town was, but I knew her story and that she had gone out there and helped protest this eminent domain thing. I don't know. Maybe there are some, you know, decent uses for eminent domain. I don't believe there are, but some of the least innocuous ones, they're not always as simple as it seems. Like the roundabout that's getting built here in Keene, it seems like it's a good thing, right? It serves the public and allows traffic to get through a lot faster. Yes, but there is this one convenience store gas station there that only has that little section as its entrance and exit, and it lost one of those entrances.
Did it?
Yes. They may have fixed it since.
I feel like it seems like it's okay. Like, when I've been going by it, I actually wondered myself the other day. I was like, did they really chop up that guy's property? And looking at it, it seems like you can get in fine, but I don't know.
I don't know. The property owner seemed to be unhappy
about it. Oh, yeah, he wasn't happy about it. No doubt about it.
And what may seem like a good idea to us actually could have done significant harm to his business.
Right, and I know that same area, and they could have cut into the parking lot of the drugstore that was across the street if that's really what they wanted to do, but they just pick what's convenient for them.
Sure.
And I'm going to talk about auction theory here in a moment, because that it solves a lot of the eminent domain problem.
All right, let's get into that coming up here. Plus the price caps, we didn't really talk enough about that. I think we should jump back into that. The prison situation in El Salvador and more coming up in Hour 3.
It's all too obvious. We're being let down by the institutions we used to trust. American families are talking about a future of food shortages, banks failing, society breaking down, and what seems like the setup for the apocalypse. But instead of throwing up their hands, folks are leaning into self-reliance, investing in emergency food storage now more than ever. And My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, has made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind knowing you're prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on their best-selling three-month emergency food kit. You get tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save $200 plus get free shipping on three-month emergency food kits at MyPatriotSupply.com. It's time to prepare for what we all know is coming. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Who listens to radio at night? EMTs, truck drivers, law enforcement, and many other hardworking people just like you, buying products and services from companies just like yours. Many companies owe their success to radio. It's the engaging medium. Call 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
You've been hearing Dr. Wallach talking about 90 essential nutrients, keeping the body healthy. GCNteam.com now has Beyond Tangy Tangerine Tablets, 60 plant-derived minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, packed in a powerful tablet. But that's not it. 160,000 auric points, a knockout punch to free radicals. Call 877-878-4203 or go to gcnteam.com. That's 877-878-4203.